Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Ronalds. Hey, on Chris.
Very well, Alan. Very well. It's a beautiful summer's day. Just finished a nice little round of analog golf, actually.
Analog golf. What are we calling analog golf?
It's, you may have seen it. It's like they play with like these sticks. They call them clubs, and they play with these little like white balls that they just call golf balls. And you play around on these courses, and yeah, it's from another era. So I think that's where the analog golf name came from. But yeah, gotcha. Some people might call it traditional golf. Some people might call it stick golf. But I'm rolling with analog golf.
Yeah, I like that. Sounds cumbersome. So I don't know. Maybe not for me. A little bit too much work.
It is a lot of work.
What made you get out and do a bit of that?
I've had a membership at the club now for 6 months, so I've been just trying to get out once a week. My handicap, I've just brought it down to 11. My goal is to get my handicap down to single digits. So, just thought I'd take up golf for no apparent reason.
For no apparent reason, yeah, sure. You piece of shit. Are you done with work yet?
Tools are down. Tools are down. Tomorrow's awesome. Like the agenda is cricket at 10 o'clock, booze from then on in. Obviously paid work. But yeah, even today was chill. Tools down.
Sounds good. Yeah, I finished up my last bit of normal work today as well, which is good. So tomorrow I head to the factory in the morning and do a little bit of cleanup and stuff, organizing there. And then, yeah, we have a bit of a barbecue and then our Christmas party starts. So should be a bit of fun. We've got to go into a teppanyaki joint and then off to a karaoke bar. So might get some tunes going.
Look out
indeed. We are a day late, thankfully, because you let me off the hook yesterday. I had to do my... I thought it was called a psych test, but they call it a personality profile. This is for my application in the Fireys. I got through the group stage. I don't know if I told everyone, but and did the beep test, cruised through that nice and easy for an athlete as of myself, of my caliber.
Of course.
And I had to do the personality profile. And funnily enough, it was like 460 questions or something ridiculous like that in 45 minutes, all true or false. And funnily enough, one of the questions was like, I occasionally like to brag about myself. And I was like, what? True? Can we change occasionally to frequently? Or like, what are we doing? But yeah, very odd test. So who knows? I might find out that I'm a wacko. We'll see. Only time
we will see.
We'll jump into a bit of disc golf. We have the Summer Cup starting back up again this year, which is cool. So the two Brunstings have already put together tournaments. Jeff's got one before the end of this year, the 28th, which will, I'm sure, must be the last disc golf event in Australia this year. That's at Ruffy Lake, and I'm doing one, the Hot Start, which will be the first disc golf event in the world for 2025. Correct. So pretty cool. Get on board both of those. 12 o'clock start for the Hot Start, so you can still have a beverage or two and find a lovely partner to kiss at midnight and rock up about 11:45 to the Hot Start. Should be good fun.
Good stuff. And I see none other than Jono himself on the sign-up sheet.
Yep. Jono is going to come and visit some family of his. And I told him he can stay with my good self. So, yeah, he'll be here at my joint for a couple of nights. So we'll have to find something fun to do on New Year's Eve. Maybe we'll hit you up, Chris, see what you're up to. Dad life might be a little hard, though.
Yeah, well, I have not signed up for Hot Start. I have a feeling I'm not in Melbourne. I think I might be up in Daylesford.
Fair enough. Yeah. But now we'll find something fun to do. And that'd be pretty cool having Jono around. It's actually looking pretty thick. The MA1 field is looking pretty tasty already in that. So Chris Scott's in there. Jono's in there. Kalen is in there. That'll be his first MA1 tournament ever, so we can't let him win that. Someone else, I think. But starting to shape up pretty good. A couple of NPOs getting going as well, so should be a good event. Keen for
only,
it.
Only 15 spots left, I'm assuming.
Something like that, I don't know. It's all done through the club shop. Mike sends me a thing at the end of the day and I upload it. But yeah, there was about 25 odd in before and only 40 spots available. So yeah, get on if you can.
Get on it.
Bit of cheeky news too. I've been in contact with the council and wherever it's called near Ruffy Lake. And Ruffy Rumble is looking like going to be a goer late in February. I think it might be the last weekend in February. Tentative date. The only caveat, and this is going to hurt a lot of people, I think. When I resubmitted the course map, the person at the council had said that there is a big party, big family gathering thing happening by hole 15, and if we could do something to avoid that area. I said, no problem, we can work around that. And it's going to be tough because that is everyone's favorite hole. That is the mulch OB hole. And I think a lot of people are going to be real sad.
Devastated, you might say.
Devastated, I think so. I was actually going to string it this year, so I am not devastated because I've designed that course in such a way that I don't have to do a lot of work. And I really like that hole, and the only way to have it without people full crying again is to string the OB. And I was going to do it for the people, but now we need to avoid that. So I'm not going to. So that's, not that sad.
Not that sad.
But I did like that hole, even though it kicked my ass. But I think Paddy might have hated it just a little bit more.
Yeah.
All right, we got a big show tonight with the awards, so we'll get right into Club Champs, which was the only disc golf that we had happen over the weekend. It was pretty eventful, don't we think?
Yeah, definitely. Great event. Obviously coordinated by Sam Storey himself, full up. A couple of people could not find themselves off the wait list, and I love that. That's the way it should be. I'd love to see even more people vying to get in and more people sitting on that wait list. I think the wait list makes for some good reading, and it kind of just shows that, you know, there are people that want to be club champ, but they weren't good enough to compete for it. I love it.
Yep, gave a pretty good not light on that last week, and some of those people might have snuck in and kicked my ass, so we might get to that. Might have backfired a little on me. My page has decided to not load for some reason anymore, so you want to take us away with what happened at Club Champs?
Yeah, definitely. Let's start down in the women's. So we had a ring-a-ding-ding penciled in for Kim Michelle and Anita Weber, and I think you backed in Kim, and I backed in Anita. Kim got the work done at down at Bicentennial and took a 4-shot lead over Anita, with Bridget actually shooting a 62 at Bicentennial and only being one back of Kim. So Bridget was well in the mix after Bicentennial. But Anita put her foot down at Bald Hill, made up some ground, but not enough ground, and fell just one stroke short. Kim Michelle is your club champion for the women's division in 2024.
Big, great pick by me. I know my women's disc golf. What can I say?
Yep.
Well done, Kim.
Well done, Kim. The old men, they went at it. Eight strong field. A few people probably with their eyes on the prize. You obviously were backing in your dad, but it was hard to look past Mike VDL, as I coined it last week. Obviously in the hot form that he is in, and whack. Round one, he went to Bald Hill with a 5-shot lead, and he stretched that out by another shot and ended up taking the chocolates by 6 strokes. Clear of your dad in second, who took down Doug by 3 strokes, which I'm sure he's stoked with, and the rest of the field. So well done to the gentleman there on the podium.
Yeah, big get there for Jeff. I think he went into Bald Hill with a narrow lead over Doug. No, he was maybe even one back of Doug. So one he back, was, he was worried that it was going to be a bit of a stampede, and he took down Doug in his backyard. So that's a good form there by Jeff. And then fourth place there, Glenn Ralston. Big year, been a very big year for the man. So big finish there. I do like that.
The young Glenn Ralston.
Yeah.
Div C, tight. Two shots separated in the end. But, yeah, there was only, yeah, everyone was in it. After round one, everyone was in it. There was a bit of separation happened at Bald Hill, but after round one, only six strokes separated the field, I think. So anyone's game to take in Division C going to Bald Hill. But Carlton Clerk kept it the cleanest. And ended up getting it done by two strokes. His plus three at Bald Hill was too good for the field in Division C.
How good was Pete Barry, though? We played with him in the morning at Bicentennial, and someone coined it, I think maybe you, it was basically as the drone flies. So he threw every single fairway straight down the middle of the fairway. Didn't make, all the baskets, but just put it there, put it up, and then hit the putt. It was cool. I really enjoyed watching that. He had one double bogey, but that he had a par putt, and he just, it was a bit of a hill, and he sailed it, and then missed the comebacker. Other than that, he got a couple birds, and evened it up. But yeah, it was just exactly how the drone would have flied. So that was cool to see. We haven't played with Pete in a while, too, so that was... That was nice. So, yeah, well done to Pete for second place.
Yeah, awesome performance. Have you got yours to load?
Yeah. So, Div B, bit of controversy. We did point out that Taron Anderson had just snuck down into Div B, even though he played the entire Social Day series in Div A. But he was given the option to drop, and I said, good on him. We will point it out, but why not? And he torched him at Bald Hill. So was not in the lead at Bicentennial. I think Paul Arden and Zolt had it there. Taron was a few back. He wasn't second or third. It was pretty bunched up. And he just murdered him at Bald Hill. So 52, I'm not sure what that equated to.
But,
seven under par, there you go. And it was... six strokes better than anyone else could put up. So that got him the big Div B win. As he said on his socials, he thought he was done, but one more win for the year. Paul Arden there in second, tied with Tim Stevenson's little sneaky little rounds there by Tim. So, tidy by him. Max Sats there in fourth. And for everyone having a big bitch at Taz, I'm not trying to bring the man down. He played well. He got the win. But he would have been 12th in Div A. So just relax a little with the sandbag talk. I think the divisions worked out pretty well, to be honest.
Yeah.
So yeah, of course. No great overlap.
Not at all. They definitely cleaned out well. Div A, look, Aiden was there to defend, but a couple of, big names turned out. Unfortunately, not all the big names. Obviously, Penn, noticeable absentee, along with a couple of others that have had, big years for the club. But you had Leo, you had Aiden, you had Ryan Deer, you had Daz, you had Tommy Jankar. And you had Phil. And Aiden's had a good year, and he wanted to defend his title from last year. And he got out of the gates pretty well at Bicentennial with a minus eight. Tommy Jankar found himself a nice little minus nine, and with a bogey, Ryan Deer managed a minus 10. So Ryan Deer goes to Bald Hill with a little bit of a lead. And we tee off at Bald Hill.
I'm not going to... I'll just jump in here. I'm not going to lie. I had a look at this, and I called it two-horse race. I had Leo too far back. I just didn't love... I didn't love Leo three strokes behind Ryan at Bald Hill. Aiden was two back. I gave him benefit of the doubt. I feel like that's quite doable. And then the other dudes on the lead card, I think we had, Tommy Jankar and...
Glenn Maisie.
And Glenn Maisie. And sorry, boys, but I just didn't back his in for Bald Hill. So I had it down as a two-horse race. Did you see anything different?
No, that was a good call by you. And with, obviously, the work we know Aiden does at Bald Hill, and Ryan Deere obviously being the pretty exceptional disc golfer that he was, two-horse race was definitely how I saw it going to Bald Hill as well.
But it didn't quite shake out like that. It ended up being a few horses. I think the final score might have been a little misleading. But how did it all shake out?
Yeah, so, yeah, we got going, and it got tight. I managed to get out of the blocks relatively clean and quickly, and I think it helped that we were playing on a bit of a faster card as well. But I went 3 for 3, and Ryan started. Ryan also went 3 for 3, and he ended up going 4 for 4. So the scorecard kind of like led us to believe that I was making up lots of ground, but then he chilled out and threw his next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 holes, only went one down. And in those same 8 holes, I went 5 down. And so it got tight. And Aiden was sort of in the mix a little bit as well. Ville was making huge ground from like way back and birdieing everything. But in the end, Ryan Deere clutched up when it mattered, and what were holes 15, 16, 17 for us, but I guess course 16, 17, 18, he went 3 down through 16, 17, 18 traditional Bald Hill, and I went par, par, par through that same stretch, and in the end he beat me by 3, so he clutched up right when it mattered.
Yeah, for sure. 3 strokes over yourself and Aiden. Another 3 back to Leo and Ville and Glenn Maisie, but it really didn't feel like that. I swear Leo was right there at one stage with 3 or 4 to go. Ville was charging like you wouldn't believe. Aiden was right there with 3 or 4 to go. So were yourself. I think there was at one stage where we looked over at normal hole 6 and Ryan missed a putt while you were on a big charge. Fell into a heap. I immediately pointed over at him, laughed at him, pointed at him, gave him a thumbs down because I knew you were basically parked on the next basket. And you proceeded. That was the only putt you missed for the day, I think.
Yep.
So that was a bit of instant karma, my bad. And then, yeah, I think after that, he birdied the next 3 holes. But at that stage, like, it was looking like it was anyone's to take. But, yeah, he did win quite comfortably in the end. Well done, Glenn, though. He held up. Very solid performance there. And, yeah, as we mentioned, what was Ville's round at Bald Hill? That was pretty gross. Like 11?
11 down, yeah.
Yeah, and it's definitely, that is definitely a harder course, like several strokes harder than what would be the normal Bald Hill layout. So that's a massive round. And he stuffed up hole 18. Somehow he bogeyed it. So I would have penciled him in for a birdie on that one. So a bit strange. Tommy Jankar was one of the people. Ville and Jankar were both on the wait list, I think. No, Ville couldn't have been, could he?
Yeah, no, he was. He wasn't on the wait list. He got in late, though, because he didn't do the RSVP.
Gotcha. But yeah, Tommy Jankar was on the wait list. He was one of the people I gave shit for just not being better. And he beat me by 3, so cop that, Al. And well done, Tommy. Cool, so there we go, club champs. We've got Ryan Deere, Taron Anderson, Carlton Clerk, Mike van der Linden, Kim Michelle, and Martin... Oh, no, Martin Glover's top of the wait list, never mind. Done and dusted for another year. So let's get into the awards, shall we? We've got a fair few to get through.
Let's do this.
We don't want to be here for forever. So the first award I've got on the thing is best meme, and I'm trying to remember, was the ADG Mandor, was that this year or last year? I feel like that was last year, right?
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, because I would have had that in there. So honorable mention for the Matt Hill one, because that was funny as fuck, and that definitely inspired me to start getting into a meme-making frenzy.
Yep.
But, yeah, the nominations for best meme, just the ones we put out on our socials. So the skeleton waiting for the sizzle footage. That one, I think that kicked Park's butt a little, and all of a sudden we started getting some
a little footage butt-ish. Out.
So yeah. I think that, like, that's not a bad one there.
Yeah.
Backing myself in, I think Chris Scott might have sent that one in to us after I got swindled. I looked at a field full of mashed potatoes, and I said, I'll probably back myself in on this one. And then all of a sudden, like, Cale Davies and Penn and Paul McBeth, I don't know, all signed up, and I got rolled. Yep. So Chris made a nice little meme about that, which was pretty good. And Adam Hammers, when he made Worlds, I had a little video with, you know, what are you doing here? And he's like, me? Nothing. Just nothing. Hanging around. So I nominate all these, and I picked the winner, so let me know if you're wrong. But I think the Hammers one was the go, purely because you tagged Hammers in it. He must have enjoyed it, and he shared it on his story, and that's a winner in my books.
Absolutely. Yep, no, well voted, it, and yeah, reshared by him. So got the nod of approval from the man himself. Good award winning by yourself.
Beautiful. I'll take the first award. Sounds good.
Best card, mate. This was a tough one, and I wish we could have had more nominations, but Honeyman had to get a mention here. And just like, just not even card, mate. Like, Honeyman at Eruption, never got to play in a card with him, but often ran into him on the warm-up green or the putter, like the putting green or whatever it might have been. And just what a pleasure of a man to be around. Obviously, we do love a bit of Honeyman. So he had to get a nomination. You just mentioned this earlier, but we got to, it's been a long time between drinks, but got to play another round with Pete Barry just on the weekend. And just through the recency bias and nothing else, but also just being a jet of a man, Pete Barry gets a nomination. But the winner this year for best card mate goes to none other than the stalwart himself, Mr. ADG Paul Arden.
Yeah, if you've never played with Paul Arden, that means you don't have a fidget mini. So if you ever find yourself with an option of getting on Paul Arden's card, do it, because if you've never played with Paul before, he will give you a fidget mini. And I mean, what could be better than that as a card mate?
Yeah, exactly. So,
love that. And he's a nice guy too, but it's mostly about the fidget mini.
Of course.
This one is a bit of a twofer, a best amateur / biggest sandbagger, because that one sort of means the other. So if you do a bit of fishing and go through some filters on the PDGA website, you'll see that the two highest rated amateurs in Australia, not even Victoria, are Cale Davies and Blake Nicholls. And Blake is, I don't know, he's still an amateur. Like, he maybe it's just because he had played that MA1 the other day. But I'm backing Blake in as an MPO, so I don't want to give it to him that way. So I think it has to go to Cale Davies. He's like fucking 995 rated or something like that. Pops into random tournaments just to beat me and piss off. yeah, it's not great. But yeah, so he is the highest rated amateur in Australia, so he is the best amateur / biggest sandbagger. Well done, Cal.
Yeah, well done. All right, next award is best division timing. So who recently has tweaked the division that they're playing in and has found themselves receiving a few chocolates as the result? A nomination here, you know, had to go to Darren Stay-Smith. The man has recently moved up to MP40. Hasn't secured too many chocolates with that move, but has definitely got a few more top 10s, and they were fading for him in the open division. So Daza gets a nomination here. But best division timing, again, recency bias at play here, but we just touched on it. Taron Anderson, what a way to just take the metrics rating all year just to land on that land on that precipice and then take full advantage and get the W. Well done, Taron Anderson.
Yep, big time. Flip side, worst division timing. So we got two mentions here. Jace Wiedner, I think he's been playing so well lately that he actually got bumped up from Div C to Div B for club champs, which has been disappointing. And you've got Wayne Govan here. I might have missed that one. What's Wayne's bad timing?
Yeah. I feel like Wayne Govan has to take the chocolates here. Unlucky for Jace, but he's won enough this year. Wayne Govan, like, we all look at the 2020, we look at the new year, we make new year resolutions, we're like, right, I'm stepping up. Wayne Govan's played MA4 all year, and just out of nowhere, the other week goes, I'm going to play MA2. And look, if it wasn't for a DNF, he would have absolutely got smacked in that field. I'm just not sure what he's playing at. Like, you save that shit for the new year, Wayne. Like, why are you making a December change for? So that has to be the worst division timing.
Nice, I like that.
Yeah.
All right, best basket performance here. There's only one nominee, so it gets the win, but it's the rad basket that spit out that shit putt that that Canadian tried to claim was great at World Teams, sent us into a playoff to get into the finals. Yeah, well done to that specific rad basket, getting that shit the fuck out of there.
It needs a plaque. It needs, or on the tree nearby or something.
Yeah.
Something needs to be, like, you need to be able to walk past and give it a little love tap. Yeah, great work, basket. Never miss a social day. Zoltos. 27 out of a possible 30. Am I reading that correct?
Yeah, it's fucked up. I was having a look at it just before.
Jesus.
There's a handful of people that got a lot, but I was like, it wasn't even worth mentioning. He's a mile ahead of him. Like, some people smashed a lot of season one, some people smashed a lot of season two. He smashed a lot of everything. So
yeah,
fucking well done there, Zolt. And on the flip side, never makes a social day. We've got Dave Perry in there as an honorable mention. Zero. Literally never makes a social day. He's probably not even a club member anymore, so I don't know what's going on. Another mention is Emma Winkworth. Winks was a stalwart. So, yeah, I think she lives in the middle of nowhere now. She only went to one. We'll give her a break on that. But the winner, and I cannot believe this. I looked at it a lot to double-check, triple-check, quadruple-check. I'm only seeing Roland Weber down for one social day this year. Do we not see him always? Like, I feel like I always see Roland.
That's crazy. Yeah, right? That's... Anita played enough to qualify for the champs.
Yeah, unless I fucked it. Well, I'll do a quadruple check. But I think Roland Weber made one social day this year, and I don't really understand it. But as long as that's true, then I think that's got to. For a man, I feel like I see all the time. They play every tournament, but never make a social day. So that goes to Roland.
There you go. Spirit of the game, tough one. Tough one here to highlight a name. We've got all the nominations sitting down, and then we're meant to highlight one. We haven't highlighted one here, but I think I know I'm going to have to give it to. Spirit of the game, nomination, Jeff Brunsting. I know he's like handed over the big reins and whatnot, but that, you know, I suggest he's just lives and breathes Melbourne Disc Golf Club. I know he hasn't been around on the Melbourne scene as much this year and has taken a bit of a backward step, but the lunch that he put on just at the club champs on the weekend was just a stellar performance by Jeff, and he is an absolute legend and the better Brunsting. But the man of the hour, and has his finger in every pie, and keeps loads of things ticking along, is an absolute jet as well, and helps us out with our pod with some stats all year. Spirit of the game has to go to Alex Evans.
Yep, love that. No complaints at all.
Yep.
So this is a leftover category from last season. Like, we've just copied and pasted a lot of stuff from last year, so some of it might not make sense. But best ace on parked. Last year there was 10. It was crazy. There were so many aces on parked. So we had to pick what we thought was the best. I was trying to rack my brain for the ones this year. Nothing was really coming to mind. So I messaged Ash, which is the best ace they caught. And he said, oh, that's easy. We only caught one. So it goes to Dylan Feldman at the Sizzler. It was a pearler, though. I sent you the video before. Yeah, I had a look on that thing. Just basically a laser beam, kind of a low ceiling towards the end, slightly downhill. He just would have thrown a putter, and it never deviated, went straight in. So best ace on parked is Dill Feldman.
Yep, good call. Love this division. Houdini, who is, you know, club presence for, and like, now where is this person? A couple of good nominations in here as well. Did bump into him on the weekend, one of these people, and that is Glenn Maisie. But he has definitely fallen by the wayside, must have got into some other hobby. Aaron DeBoer, I'm loving a lot of these suggestions because Aaron has also, disappeared from this side of the earth. And I wonder if that's anything to do with Stoney going by the wayside. But the winner for Houdini of the Year goes to none other than Tom.
Yeah, that's crazy. I feel like every day last year he was finding someone's disc. And I don't think I've heard a peep from him this entire year. So I don't know if he's moved. I don't know. But yeah, Tong for sure.
Talk me through the next division.
It's a couple bogey. I love it. I think that's I think you coined that phrase. Super good. The couple bogey. It's great. Basically, whoever shit the bed the hardest on a single hole and took the couple bogeys. So there's only one place you need to look to find this, and that's hole 18 at Eruption. We've got some good nominees there. I think Cam will probably get a nomination every single year, but he did deserve it this year. He took a 14, which is a plus 11. Sean Freeman, also very strong contender. He took a 16, which is the record on that hole now, which is a plus 13 on the single hole. But I think the winner has to go to our very own Seb Gutierrez. He also took a 16, but the way he took it, I think, was a lot more heartbreaking. So I'm pretty sure Sean just threw and threw and threw and threw and threw and eventually won, landed in the hazard. Seb did that for a bit and then said, I don't want to throw my whole bag in the water. I'll go around. And then he fucked it from there as well. You'll have to go back and listen to the Eruption pod to hear exactly how that went down. But I'm pretty sure a couple more out of bounds, some tree hits. Yeah, it was rough. So he took 16 the hard way. So he gets the couple bogey.
Yes, he does. Best contributor, Honeyman. He comes in clutch with a couple of funny things here and there for us. And so he gets a mention. Stoyer obviously keeps the club afloat and, you know, got the club champs off the ground. But best contributor, we mentioned it a moment ago, Alex Evans is doubling up here and he's taking the best contributor award as well.
Beautiful. Did we skip a couple or is my page wrong? Was Roller Coaster Golfer?
Please.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
no. I was just like, I did something before and it went away, so I wasn't sure if something bad happened. But I love that, but Alex definitely helps us out. Rollercoaster Golfer. I thought we'd have more in this, but when I'm trying to have a deep, hard think, there wasn't too many other people that really stood out as big up and downs. But this winner, every time I was like, this person shit at this golf, they played great. Every time I was like, oh, they're coming around, they went shit. So there's nothing more. And then this is his game style as well, is to be a zero hero. But Rollercoaster Golfer for 2025 is Jay Ross.
Love that. All right, now I'll see if I'm in the right spot. All right, best episode. Look, did Between Two Chains start this year?
Yeah, yeah, it did. That was the Vic Open this year. I cannot believe I forgot that. I'm glad you put that down.
Thank you. Had to get a nomination between two chains. That is, yeah, that is some of our best content. And thanks again to Honeyman for hooking us up there. But crispest, cleanest, funniest, no jankiness episode, best episode of the year, has to go the one that when we drove to Gambia. That was our best work.
That's great. Yeah, sure. you want to do that. I forgot about Between Two Chains. And that's clearly the best thing we've done. But yeah, sure. Drive to Gambia. I love it. Best tournament. This was a bit tough. Stayed in Victoria for this. Obviously, Eruption's the best tournament in Australia. But we can't suck the dick of that place too hard too often. So we'll have a look at some of the closer events. The Invalley Open, thought was great. I had a really fun time there camping. A lot of people camped. Introduced that new white nine, not white nine, orange nine, whatever the hell they're calling it. But the new nine holes. Think that was really good, worth a mention. The Central Vic Classic, always enjoy going out to Bendigo. It's the one time a year I do it. So that it was a nice one. But best tournament, I think, went to Melbourne Celebrates. I know the weather was not ideal, so that is a bit controversial. But the exciting part, and I think the part that makes it the best tournament, is that would 100% be by far and away the best course we have in Melbourne if we can get some traction on it. And I think we can. I think I'm hearing some rumblings that some traction could be happening. So, Melbourne Celebrates gets Tournament of the Year, or Best Tournament.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Is now that we've done Best Contributor, obviously Best TD was Reece Circuit last year, and he has to get an honourable mention this year. He runs some good events. But this year, we could not look past Mr. Jeff Brunstein.
Yep. It was more of a numbers game this year, I think. Reese handed over some reins to some other great people in Ballarat, and they did a good job, but I think he might have only run this year, so you don't get shit out of us for that. Sorry, Reese. And when I was having a look, I'm pretty sure Jeff ran like six tournaments in the start of the year last year at the in the Summer Cup. I think he did a lot of the he ran the Melbourne Celebrates. So Jeff Brunstein, TD of the year.
Love
keep
that
it in the family. Let's go.
Best new event, Ruffy Rumble. And loving to hear that that's back on the cards for Feb. Bring it on.
Yes, please. I think that might have been the only new event we had. So
worst Australian podcast. Look, tee off, you know, we're never going to have a year where they don't get nominated, but they are not taking the chocolates this year. A cheeky one in here, Parked Clubhouse gets a nomination. If podcast is, it's hard for me to like label Clubhouse. It is a podcast.
Yeah, I just wanted to give Park shit. I just thought
yeah,
that'd be
fair fun. Enough. But I'm not sure how... Did Talking Trilogy make it to three episodes? Because that'd be fitting.
It did not. So it is a subsidiary of Tee Off. It's literally just two episodes of the Tee Off that they coined Talking Trilogy. But yeah, it did not make a third episode. And if you listen to any of it, you would know why.
Look, it was a one horse race, but we still had to nominate the others.
Exactly.
Best not light. Talk me through this one.
I was trying to. We need to write some of these down.
Yeah,
because I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember any of my spotlights, any of my not lights. I've gone with the Queensland Open as best not light, purely because it sparked a bit of controversy. We had some chats with TDs and a lot of feedback from a lot of different people. Mostly just because I was pretty drunk, and I went off. I was on how shit it was. So it was the only one I could really remember. I think we've had some good ones this year, but we're going with that one. So the Queensland Open, best not light.
Nah, fair enough. I'm just having a flick through some of mine. I actually write all mine down.
Really?
Yeah, I do. and so, Yeah, there was one in there where Daz missed 24 putts in a tournament.
Yeah, I remember that.
There was one in there about the cost for the tournaments in WA. Yeah, there was a few. There was all the PDGA ones and the fact how shit that app was. But, yep, fair enough. That one, the Queensland one, can take the winner. I'm having a look at their not lights. Nothing else is jumping out of the page. Best spotlight. Look, we spotlighted loads of things, but occasionally we spotlighted our listeners, and obviously they're the ones that keep this show going. Otherwise, we're just a couple of random blokes talking to ourselves, sweating my balls off in the studio right now. and so, best spotlight absolutely goes to all those listeners out there. Give yourselves a pat on the back. And I actually get loads of enjoyment when I get like messages last night saying, where the fuck's your episode? And like, I also equally enjoy the ones where like they're messaging me the next day. I'm like, hey, have you already listened to this?
Yeah, it's the best. I love it.
Yeah, love it.
No, I like that. And I think it's honorable mention should go to the many, many times that we have spotlighted ourselves.
Yes, good call.
Worst call by us. This was nominated by Kaelin for getting Mitch Evers wrong. Said he came second at Eruption when he had a big win. That's fair. There's probably been other bad ones. I feel like once a month at least, Darren says, what the fuck are you talking about? So I think we got a lot of bad calls, but we definitely don't write them down. So worst call by us, at least in recent memory, is Mitchy Boy at Eruption. Sorry, buddy.
Nah, I love that. Best guess, we dialed in Kaelin a couple of times, and he was a good guess and well-spoken, and, you know, had a couple of digs and, you know, gave us some insight to his, like, nemesis and stuff like that, and Kaelin was definitely a good guess, but he's a listener, and he is familiar with our format. I had to give our best guess to Big Rig Rob, because this bloke has never heard a minute of our podcast. And then sat around the table and just leant straight in and hit the nail on the head with his approach to our shit talking, and just, you know, letting everyone know that they give too much of a shit about this game that we play. And I just loved it. And he's got a big rig and I've got a man crush on him. So it's just, if nothing, if I couldn't have a man crush award, I'm giving him the best guest award. Big Rig Rob.
Love that. Yep. Best disc golf adventure. There wasn't much on this year for other people, so it's just got to go to us and the Green Jacket. It was a pretty good one. We got down to Gambia this year, right?
Correct.
Inverley. So
via Inverley.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah, Green Jacket is still the best disc golf adventure. If anyone's got anything better, try to hit us up. Let us know.
Yeah, I'm gonna read out the nominations for the next award, but I'm gonna let you choose because this is hard. Choke of the year, and it's a full board. We have Leo Dykes at the Big Wet, we have Ryan Deer at Warrnambool, and we have Peaches Perry at the Vic Open. Who was taking down choke of the year?
Yeah, so I had the Leo and Ryan in there. I'm glad you put the Peaches in. Leo at the Big Wet was sent to us, but I feel like it was the entire lead card of Big Wet equally choked as much. The winner choked, but still won. So I can't single any one of them out. Ryan Deer, I just remember watching that tournament in Warrnambool, and I was like, how did you lose? He clearly looked the best there, but still lost. But I did completely forget that Dave Perry was 15 strokes ahead at the Vic Open, and then lost to Dylan Feldman, who shot like a negative 100. That is stiff. It is stiff to give it to someone who shot a fucking negative 100 at Inverley to beat you. But I just don't feel like Dave had that good of a second round or final round, did he?
He just sort of played average.
And if he had played good, he would have definitely won. So, yeah, big choke of the year. Got to go to Dave Perry at the Vic Open.
I cut him deep too. chatting to Mikey Hare on the weekend about it. Mikey Hare gave us an insight that, yeah, you know, he was the bridesmaid. Peaches was the bridesmaid at a lot of majors over the years. He has had 8 second places at majors.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, and yeah, obviously of all the tournaments to break the back, to break it at Nationals, well done, David Perry. But yep, this year also included the biggest joke of the year, and that is, yeah, I couldn't believe it when you didn't have it in there. I'm like, that was bad.
Yeah. I fully forgot. Yeah.
Under the radar, Mike Vanderlinden. He's not under the radar now. But he's been sneakily getting good all year. And it is evident to everyone in the MA50 club that there is a new boy in town. And he is here to take your chocolates. But the winner this year goes to Chris Scott, who just continues to slay and go from strength to strength.
Yeah, I think, like, everyone knows he's good. So it's, he gets underappreciated that way because it's just like, oh, yeah, he's good. But then he just seemed like he was winning everything this year. I don't know. He had a good year. He moved up to MA1 and was just as good, like doing just as well as he did in MA2. Just sneaky good. I think he just got a little bit better. His ratings probably went up like 10 points this year. Nothing crazy, but just good. So I feel like, yeah, under the radar, he's the most under the radar guy we got.
Yep. I like it.
Perfect timing in this that might be full of shit because worst research podcast. honorable mention goes to Park Clubhouse. Mostly because of Jace and Matt. So there are 4 people that do it, and 2 of them don't even know the address of where the clubhouse is. And the other 2 provide a very detailed run sheet and set up all the gear. So they get an honorable mention because half their members are cooked. But it's got to go to us. We do a lot of this off the cuff. really write very little down. Try to remember shit as much as we can. Like, for me, it's after the gym, after I've cooked dinner. I'm like, oh, yeah, shit, better get the potty ready. So, yeah, worst research podcast. It's crazy people listen, but, yeah, trollers.
I was typing into this sheet 3 minutes ago. yeah, it's got to go to us. Look, we've got a couple in here. We're going to skip straight over them. We've got no nominations.
Yeah, it was, which I think we should touch on that. So one of them was Spirit of the Lame. I can't remember. I think I accidentally deleted the old sheet, so that's my bad. I can't remember who we had last year, but someone must have just been a buzzkill last year. But I can't think of any. I can't think of any, like, real buzzkills this year. So that's good. And then Torched, I feel like that was maybe someone we spotlighted a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know who got that. Ash, when I was given Park shit the other day for something, I can't remember what it was now, in one of the chats, Ash Wiener did mention something about how, yeah, Park should get their shit together and talk about Penn and
Kalen
a bit more. So maybe they get torched because we might have talked about them too much.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah, true. They can share that award. I alluded to this one earlier, but best nickname or, best name made up on the spot. And, I gave, Mr. Rob, Robbie Reeves, the, best guest, and he came on and he coined Ryan Doe Deer, the Doe. And, that is easily the best nickname of the year. And it's sticking like glue. So that is, best nickname of the year.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Heavy lifter, you've got down here, Kyle Herbo. Yeah, great call. He does a mile of work for the park stuff, not just with the filming, but with the editing. He was probably the only person that made all of the parked appearances, and he TD'd the Aussie Open. So, bang, got to be Turbo Herbo. That's what you were thinking, right?
Yeah, exactly. As soon as I saw that as a category sitting there, we wouldn't know what we know about Aussie disc golf if it wasn't for him. So, I know we give him love and I know that the love doesn't go anywhere, but what I will say is this, if you've got a couple of bucks, I think they do have, like, they're set up with, like, Patreons and shit.
Yeah.
Where you can, like, you know, chuck them a couple of bucks, 100%. If you got some coffee money sitting around, chuck that shit towards Park Media.
Yeah, I should definitely sign up to that. I'll do that. That'll be one of my New Year's resolutions, Ash.
Yeah, there you go. Patreon. Good work. I will not. rating lover goes to Penn. He froths it, mate. He froths it more than I froth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, he's pretty impressed that he's well above me now, so, yeah. Best new division player? Well, I sort of changed that. I don't know. Taron Sandbagerson, as you've coined him, or someone's coined him.
Was it Lee Thompson? Who was it?
Yeah, probably. I think we wanted to know that. Taron Sandbagerson. he sent in a suggestion for something that he should win, and I respect that. So, yeah, he had best new or MA40 player or something. So I've just made it best new division player. He switched divisions this year from MA1 to MA40 and has about 100 wins. So, fair enough. Well played, Taz. Good move.
Yeah. Most improved. Hard to draw this one because, like, you know, he's going from 800 to 850. You know, that's way easier than going from 900 to 950. Hard to kind of coin the most improved here. We got Tim Ware. He's had a good year, and has, you know, taken some scalps. And obviously, as we've obviously celebrated all year, Penn is someone who's improved a lot. But then you've also got the man who was just recently signed up to PDGA through Force, Mr. Narada Guzman, as most improved. We've got two highlighted names in there, Alan. Flick a coin.
No, I'll let you pick. I'm happy for either one for sure. My pick was Narada, just because I don't know. I felt he went from like casual plucky to like how you're not winning always. Whereas Penn, it was less out of nowhere. So I had him as a mention, but I am more than happy for either one of those to be most improved. Penn got the wins this year, so it probably should be him. I don't think Narada took any wins.
Yeah, and he had an ace recently, which true. Is more aces than I've had all year. And earlier in the year, this is true, earlier in the year, like probably January, Penn sends Alan and I a checklist, like here are my goals. And it was win the Vic Tour out of spite, tick. beat Sam Stoyer, tick. Beat Alan Brunstein, 10 ticks.
10 ticks.
Win an MA1 event, tick, and beat Kalen, tick. And so Kalen's going to love that's sitting on there. But the fact that that was literally his complete empty checklist when he sent it to us with no ticks and well and truly ticked by the end of the year. So I'm going to have to give it to Penn.
Yeah, nah, that's fair. Well done, Penn. Big year. See if you can back it up next year. Speaking of big years, we've got Rookie of the Year, and nominations go to Juan Reyder. I just feel like he was doing a lot. I feel like he got real sneaky in a lot of events, played really well, and I'm fairly certain this was his first year. Levi Norton, more so with the social days, I reckon he won the handicap at like a million of them. So out of nowhere, and all of a sudden got pretty good. But it is too hard to go past Kalen. I know he's played a little bit, but he didn't really play any events or any social days or anything until this year. And he won Nationals, so it's not much more. He had some other wins, at least. He won the Melbourne Celebrates, I think. But he won MA2 at Nationals, best score of the weekend. First real year of competitive disc golf. I don't think anyone can doubt Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, not at all. Last two awards, most prestigious awards in disc golf, as we are aware, and I know everyone's standing, waiting around for the end of this episode so we can get to the Player of the Year. So, as you know, as passionate listeners, we award both a male and female Player of the Year. We'll start with the female because it really was a bit of a one-horse race for the Vic Player of the Year. Even though they went on to, you know, successfully compete for Great Britain over in the WA, They are our only 900 rated female disc golfer in the country at the moment, and you know, played. What we love about Huss is many things, but one of the things we love about Huss is that when she looks at an event and there's no other FPO signed up, she'll go play FP40 or she'll play MA1 or she'll play just something where she can have a bit of competition. So you might not find W's down her spreadsheet, but you know, there are other ways of measuring success, and Huss is definitely our female player of the year.
Yeah, 100%. Like, huge year. I'm having a look at her PDGA at the moment, and FPO, it is 2, 4, 5 wins, including nationals. She has 2 seconds, but they're both invalid leagues. I had a look at them. They were just leagues where she showed up to less events than the others. So,
yeah.
She just had a rip year. Basically, anytime when, as you mentioned, when she showed up and some other women showed up, she took the win. And when they didn't show up, she went into MA40, and she did bloody good in MA40. Central Vic Classic was her worst finish at 5th place. So, 2nd, couple 3rds, 4th. Just a great year. Some big events against some good competition in MA40. And, yeah, she did great. So, I think it was a no-brainer. That was the first thing that came to mind, got mentioned as well from a couple of our social listeners. So, huge year, Huss. You mentioned the Great Britain stuff. Just a jet, and very, very well deserved.
Yeah. Love that. Love that. Speaking of national champions, male player of the year, we had a bit of a discussion beforehand. Is Ryan Deere in the conversation? Is Leo Dykes in the conversation? Is Aiden Howard in the conversation? They're all thereabouts, but they do not jump off the page. And then when you have a quick glance at David Perry's sheet for the year, you see a 10th at the New Zealand National Championships and made cash, top 10, huge performance. You see winning the Golden City Classic, 2nd at Sizzler, 2nd at the Vic Open, winning the Kingston City Classic, obviously playing for Australia in the WIFDIF Championships, and then winning Nationals. Huge year for David Perry, and takes out Male Player of the Year.
Yeah, no brainer in the end. He wasn't quite on my mind because I just don't see him at a lot of the events. You know, I've played like 40 events or something this year. So, but when you look at it, he's played enough, and he has been big in big events. So, absolute no-brainer. Dave Perry. Male Player of the Year.
Bang, bang. Keep an eye out on your inbox, everyone. When I get a chance, I like to send out a little digital recognition of these awards. You don't get anything else.
Yeah, no, I do love that, though. That was a nice little touch by you last year, so
yeah.
I'm glad you're doing that. Before we wrap up, last year, I'm pretty sure I got a list of all the TDs who TD'd everything in Victoria, but I didn't do it this year. I forgot. So anyone who TD'd an event, the people that ran the social days, Dazza, who did the street league, if you provided disc golf for the people today, this year, then we appreciate it greatly, and look forward to hopefully more people doing it next year, because, yeah, if someone's not setting it up, then we aren't playing, and then you and I have got nothing to ramble on about. So big shout out to everyone who organized disc golf for us this year.
Yeah.
All right, should we finish on a little bit of spotlight, not light?
I got some.
Yeah, go for it. What do you got?
I'll start with my spots because I've mentioned all of these things. My honorable mentions were Jeff Brunsing's lunch. Thanks, Jeff. That was delicious. My other honourable mention was Ryan Deere clutching up on traditional 16 through to 18. You know, even he parked 17, traditional 17, at a pretty important time. So well done, Ryan Deere. But my actual spotlight, and we have mentioned, has to just go to Peter Barry being a drone and hitting the lines all day. Peter Barry's getting my spotlight today.
Beautiful. My honourable mention for spotlight goes to you. I feel like it's not been your best year, but Club Champs, I feel like you always seem to do something good at Club Champs. don't think you've won one yet, but maybe a couple of bridesmaids, and I think you were killing it 1 year, and then the Mrs. Mulder got into a car accident or something, had to leave. So, but yeah, spotlight to you for big second place. But my actual spotlight, and I don't know if this is a spotlight or a not light, but it made me laugh, so I think it's a spotlight. But at Bald Hill, we're in a group of five. Oh, was it Boston Town? I don't know where it was. We're in a group of five, and we all threw pretty alright shots on hole six. And whoever was out first, roughly circle's edge, bang, hits putt. Next person goes, bang, hits putt. I think I hit my putt, bang. Someone else goes, bang. We've just hit our four putts. And Dazza, who had thrown the best shot of the group, steps up. And Cage. So that's not the spotlight. The spotlight was his reaction. He goes, oh, sick. I've never been quadruple big putted before. And I just thought that was so good. So card of five, beer frame, and he was the closest one. Sorry, Daz, but the quadruple big putt, I just thought was hilarious and deserving a spotlight.
Yeah, love that, love that. Good segue into my honourable mention, not light. This comes in from an anonymous listener. I didn't have the pleasure of playing with Aiden at Club Champs, but someone who did said, Chris, you need to sneak in a not light to Aiden's trash talk. And they just said it just doesn't land. They don't know if it's the pitch, the delivery, the words themselves, but there's just something about the way that Aiden talks shit and it just doesn't quite work. So absolutely honorable mention, and lucky to avoid the actual not light, because I've got some hot news that has to get my not light.
Please.
My not light this week goes to Huss. Not eligible. Now hear me out. Not eligible to represent Australia at the upcoming WIF Diff tournaments.
Oh, why? Because she played for Great Britain. Oh no! And she played for Great Britain because she never put her hand up for Australia. Like she never was like, oh, I'll try. Boy. Oh no, that's disappointing. Yeah, that gets a not light.
So I don't know if it's. I don't know. I need to see clarification if this is a WIF Diff ruling or if this is a High Performance Committee ruling. I really hope it's not a High Performance Committee ruling, because that would stink. That would stink. Surely it's not that. So this must be coming from WIF Diff itself. But wherever this rule has come from, that is junk and that is a not light.
There you go. Shit.
Yeah.
All right, mine goes to Dimitri Ross. I don't know Dimitri, but someone said that's who it was. We are playing at Bald Hill, and we're playing normal hole 18. We're looking over at what is normal hole 2 or 11. And, he's thrown it, must have thrown like that short hyzer, so he's, you know, in that no man's land between the bushes that you shouldn't hit and then the bushes up by the basket. And he's got his rangefinder out. I'm like, what is happening here? Is someone from Div B straight up like rangefinding that distance that like everyone has landed in before? Like, what is someone from Div B rangefinding at all? Was my real question. Anyway, I go, I move on, I take my shot. I look back, he'd moved on, and I was like, did he at least park it? And someone was like, nah, he shot it 10 long. And I was like,
it was like 20 long.
20 long, there you go. Yeah. He was like 35 away, and then he threw it 20 long after range finding. So, yeah, Dimitri, Div B, range finding, and then blowing it. That gets my not light.
Yeah, good catch by you.
All right, well, that's us done for another year. Chris mentioned the listeners that, we really appreciate it. Oh, I was meant to get our wrapped up. I didn't do that. To see how we did this year with the Spotify, so that's my bad. But, we appreciate everyone. Yeah, like Chris said, we just ramble to nothing. But, we appreciate that, some people do listen and some people do give us feedback and hit us up. So yeah, we love that. We enjoy doing it. This is a bit of fun for us. So yeah, really appreciate everyone who listened this year.
Love ya. Peace out.
Bye.